You're in the 06010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Wednesday, October 21st. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and Kyle Soppy hanging out with you today. Reduced crew. The three of us. The three musketeers.
So, from what I understand happened.
Right. Stefania's abroad.
Secret Squirrel. Here's what happened. I'll tell you exactly. I did some investigating. So, Secret Squirrel, as you know, owed me. Secret Squirrel was giving me grief, was pretending, giving me grief the other day. And he said, his favorite movie of all time is Crocodile Dundee 2.
He and I share that in common.
Sure, of course. So, I asked him for a book report because, I mean, what's your second favorite movie?
Probably Ace Ventura.
Okay. So, my guess is that if Ace Ventura is your second favorite movie, you could quote scenes, you could immediately talk about what the plot is, everything like that, right?
Yeah,
Laces out, exactly. What's Ray Finkel's number?
He was number, what was it? It's number five in that movie?
I think it was five.
Yeah, he was.
I believe it was five. So that's my point, right? So my point, but Daniels was like, so I'm like, give me a rook report. Should be pretty easy.
Right.
It's been 2 days. Mm. And I think what has happened is Daniel has been stumped trying to figure out the plot of Crocodile Dundee 2. So he has called in the brainiest person he knows, which is Stefania, to help him out. So the two of them are now working together. Daniel was definitely that guy that cheated off somebody's homework, you know, in high school. And so that's what he's doing now, is he's asked brainy Stefania to come do his work for him. Not surprising.
Gotcha. I don't think that's what happened.
I'm almost positive that's what happened.
So what
that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I think what happened was was that Daniel was working on the biggest scoop of his journalism career. Mm. He had a big one.
Okay.
A Tua size scooped, if you will.
And
then what happened? He was laying low yesterday before the show. He was preparing all of his notes to break the news about Tua.
Interesting.
And then he got scooped by Shefty.
Yeah, well, that happens to the best of us.
It does. And so yesterday he was preparing. Mm. Today he's recovering.
Got it.
Right.
Interesting. I like my theory better.
Yours probably
anyway,
works, but
the point of the matter is that the only people that actually showed up to work are me, you, and Thirsty Kyle.
But to be fair, Kyle's always here. Kyle works hard than anybody else.
The word thirsty comes from, you know, his thirst for airtime.
Sure.
Right? If you're thirsty, you don't deny water.
Thirst for dedication.
Yeah.
Thirst for dedication. That's what it is. He is the most dedicated person you will ever meet here at ESPN. The reason why I mentioned Daniel's scoop about Tua that got taken by Shefty, great job by Shefty, is because this week's Go All Out in Madden NFL 21, available now in our Madden Feature Player of the Week for Week 5, is Tua Tagovailoa, of course, the new Dolphins starting quarterback. This is actually obviously I'm being funny about Daniel and Shefty, but what a great get by Shefty yesterday, because we all knew it was probably going to happen at some point. But the deadline or a timeline seemingly was pushed back because Ryan Fitzmagic has been really solid for the Dolphins late.
He's played well, and I think the expectations coming into the season, maybe not internally, but at least externally for the Dolphins, was it's another rebuilding year. They're 3-3. They're in the thick of it.
They're in the thick of it. They're actually ahead of the Patriots in the AFC East by half game.
By the way, in their losses, they played Buffalo tough. They played the Patriots tough. I mean, if the Dolphins wind up 9-7 this year, that's not going to shock anyone.
We'll see. Yeah.
They're 3-3.
So in any event, I actually think there's a fantasy football tie into the thinking behind Brian Flores.
I was going to say, so we were surprised, but the news is Dolphin, just to put a bow on that and then we continue. But so what Shefty broke yesterday, Tua is going to be the starter after their bye. Obviously Dolphins on a bye here in week 7. When they come back in week 8, it will be Tua time under center in Miami, not Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So during the pre-draft process for fantasy football, we talk about players that are going to have some fantasy value.
But sure.
You can draft this guy. He's not going to win you your league, right? He's not going to be the player at that position that's going to be a difference maker for you, right? I'm trying to think of a good example. But and I don't want this to become across as begrudging, but I don't think that Kirk
James
Cousins
White.
Are... Oh, okay.
James,
yeah, James
White.
White's fine.
James
yeah,
White's
James
perfect.
White,
James Ward's is solid. He'll go out, he'll get you 12 points every week, but the idea that James White could win you your league is far-fetched,
right? He is not going to be a player that's consistently putting up 20-plus points.
Right.
Maybe even does that zero times for the entire season. We shall see. But that, to me, is kind of what the Dolphins are doing here, is that it's a nice story with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now, it's a really nice story.
Sure. And
you want to be respectful of a guy who has given you it his all. And I feel like Fitz has entered that category of it does not matter what team you root for, you like Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you don't,
absolutely,
it's more about you than it is about him.
Right.
In any event, the Dolphins.
I think whenever he decides to retire, he will have his choice of careers. I think coaching makes a lot of sense, but so does broadcasting. Very, very engaging person.
Him and Daniel could be in a beard Dude. Gang, you know, like a band together.
Maybe? Dude, sign me up for that podcast.
Okay. All right. In any event, so I think that what the Dolphins probably realize is that, cool, we can win like 7, 8, maybe 9 games this year with Fitz. But ultimately, the player that gives us a chance to become a legitimate AFC contender at some point, probably not this year, maybe not next year, but maybe in 2022, is Tua. And while sitting on the sidelines can be educational for players, and there are players that will tell you the best thing they did was sit out their rookie year, whether it's Carson Palmer, whether more recently it's Patrick Mahomes. Now, maybe Mahomes would have been great no matter what, but still, there probably are some things he gleaned from Alex Smith during that 1 year. The best way to get better is to play. And if you're the Dolphins, if there are some learning curves that Tua's going to have to endure, you'd probably rather endure them during a season where your ceiling is maybe 7, 8, or 9 wins.
Right.
Let's just say next year, by the way, you have a potential top 8, 9, 10 pick in the draft owed to you by the Texans. What if next year in the draft, you have 2 first-round picks, and you end up with the best wide receiver in the country coming out. And all of a sudden, you're like, man, this offense is taking shape. Defensively, we got better. Maybe we can win 10 games next year,
right?
And maybe we can win the division next season. Who knows? But I think that's the thinking for Brian Flores. It's like, I'm not interested in going 7, 8, 9 wins. I'm interested in eventually becoming a team that wins 10 to 12 games every single season. Tua is the quarterback that unlocks that potential for us. We got to get him going.
Yeah, they have played better than expectations, but they're still in the AFC where the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Steelers are. It's just like, listen, you know, we're going to do better than, but Super Bowl is likely not in our cards this year. And the better we can get Tua under center and see what we have, the better off, and the quicker we can get reps, the better we are, because obviously he's the future, not Ryan Fitzpatrick. The timing was a little surprising, but whatever. But maybe it's because it's the bye week.
Right.
It's the bye week. So give him the bye week. Give him 2 weeks to have all the first team reps and come out rocking in week number 8. Fantasy-wise, Field, it's interesting. So I think people have sort of forgotten Tua is strong, but because of the injury, I think people have forgotten how highly regarded this kid was. Yeah. I mean, you know, all the talk now is like tank for Trevor, like, you know, franchise. But like, it was tank for Tua like 2 years ago.
It was,
prior to the injury, people were saying this is a franchise-defining player. This is a guy that can change the fortunes the way that, you know, Cincinnati believes Joe Burrow can, the way that, you know, Andrew Luck was thought of coming out of college, like a can't-miss prospect. And now, clearly, he showed he was healthy enough to play in a game last week. Now he's named the starter here. It's been a fantasy-friendly offense for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Can Tua be a fantasy-viable starter?
That's a good question. You know what? I'm going to look up right
now. My answer is no.
I am not counting on him right now as being a fantasy-viable starter for a couple of reasons. First of all, is that one of the things that worked to Fitz's advantage, and it also worked to his detriment at times, is that he is audacious. He's unafraid. Mm-hmm. He is a gunslinger, right? That term is overused, but that's what Ryan Fitzpatrick is.
Right.
He's going to take some risks. He's going to put his body on the line with rushing attempts. He is not going to be afraid to break the pocket and scramble for 25 to 30 yards a game, which, by the way, can make the difference. Now, he's also going to throw awful picks, and he's going to have some games where he lays total eggs. I see Tua as most likely not as aggressive right away. And again, I could be way off. Also, I don't really know what kind of a runner Tua is for a couple of reasons. First of all, at Alabama, they didn't really need him to run all that frequently. I could be off here. I think I just saw that in college, his first year, he averaged 0.7 rushing yards per attempt. Mm. That was 2019, excuse me, his final year. Now, also worth noting that in college, quarterbacks, when they take a sack, if you take a 10-yard sack, that counts as minus 10 rushing yards for you. So it skews averages a little bit. But we had a little bit of a sample size of Joe Burrow being a pretty effective runner last year for LSU. So Tua, I don't know, and he's a good athlete, all right? Yeah. But this is not Lamar Jackson, right? He's also coming off of a major hip issue, right?
Sure.
Will he be more reticent to run? I don't know these answers.
But for me, I just sort of feel like pretty good weapons in Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki.
Decent,
fine. decent. I would say above average, but
really,
you would say for fantasy purposes.
Interesting.
For fantasy purposes.
Ooh, I don't know.
And so, and I think it's going to be decent run game. You know, I like Gaskin. I think Gaskin's decent. I think Gaskin's a good player.
He is a good player. Yeah.
And so, by the way, in a defense, it's going to, like, I think he's going to throw a lot. I think they're going to have to throw a lot. I don't think they're going to be grinding out games here. And so, I think that if I'm in a, look, do I prefer him at the moment to Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow, two other rookie quarterbacks? I don't. But if I'm in a two quarterback league, I'm in a super flex league,
that's
a deeper
fine.
League,
yeah.
Absolutely picking him up.
Different story.
And
it's
definitely something that is worth keeping an eye on. In a standard 10 or 12 team league where you only play one quarterback, there are better, more established quarterbacks on your waiver wire. And of course,
that was
he's
the
on
question
the bye.
You asked me then.
Right.
Is he a viable fantasy starter? I mean, in a two quarterback league, basically the entire quarterback list is a fantasy viable.
But like, I'd prefer him over some of the sort of the also rounds. Like, I'd rather take a flyer on him than Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean? Or like,
okay, but Kirk Cousins is what, like the 20th best quarterback
in
fantasy?
But that's my point.
You asked me if he's a fantasy viable starter, which most people would interpret as, is he going to be a starter in a 10 or 12 team league?
Right.
And I answer no.
Right.
You are agreeing with that assessment.
I am.
No. If you had to just, for the rest of the season, pinpoint a range. I'll give you four total slots.
Right.
Do you think he's quarterback 18 to 22 for the rest of the year?
What are my slots?
I mean, you can choose. I'm saying like between, give it like 18 to 22, 16 to 20, 12 to 16.
16 to 20 is where I would put him. 16 to 20 with more upside than I think you're giving him.
Okay.
More
fair
potential
enough.
Upside than I think you're giving him.
I hope to be wrong. By the way, the Dolphins hope to be wrong. They have the longest drought of non-Pro Bowl quarterbacks. It's been something like 20 years since they had a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Right. And I would also say that to the extent that you care, like, it's been inconsistent for Mike Gesicki. The only fantasy viable guy every single week has been Devontae Parker. Preston Williams has had one really good game. He's had a couple of touchdowns where that was pretty much all he did, but he's had one legit good game. But maybe he's getting a little bit healthier off of the ACL, and maybe he comes out of the bye week. You know, it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, does Isaiah Ford, who like has shown flashes occasionally, like, so
here's the good thing about Tua, though.
I do think Devontae Parker keeps his value, and you hope for better things out of Mike Gesicki and Preston Williams, more consistency out of Gesicki and better things out of Preston Williams.
Last thing on Tua is that you're probably going to have to wait a while to use him anyways. Obviously the bye, right?
Sure.
You're probably not going to start him in the first opportunity, which comes against the Rams, by the way. Then he goes on the road to Arizona, who quietly, and I mean quietly, number two overall defense in the NFL this year, which surprising, especially without Chandler Jones. And then he hosts the Chargers, who are going to have soon back Melvin Ingram and could have Chris Harris back at that point. So a better defense than what they've been playing with spare parts recently. So his best matchup comes in week 12. And by the way, that's a week when, as of right now, zero teams are on a bye. Let's get into some quarterback ranks, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So we spent some time yesterday talking about Ryan Tannehill. Right now, he has to be
Tannehill.
Has to be Tannehill is my favorite nickname for him. He has to be in lineups every week, right?
Yes.
And yet here we are. Week 7 rankings. And we're talking about quarterbacks. And Ryan Tannehill comes in just outside our top 10 for each of us. I've got him at 11. You've got him at 12. And this is simply a matchup thing.
Yeah, Steelers.
If you added him this week, don't you think it's going to be really hard to add Ryan Tannehill this week and not play him?
In a week with four, you know, pretty good teams on bye, like, I mean, by pretty good teams, I mean that all have fantasy relevant players. Yeah, potentially, right? Because you might be filling in for some bye week guys. This is just for me. This is, you know, the Steelers, who, you know, allow just 15 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. That's fifth fewest in the NFL. Not one quarterback, and it's been a mixed bag in terms of who they face, but not one quarterback has scored over 19 fantasy points against them. And so when you're getting up into the range, that's what you're hoping for. I mean, I ranked Ben Roethlisberger 11th. I have Tannehill at 12 because I'd rather face Tennessee than face Pittsburgh's defense.
Yeah, I mean,
it will
close.
Be interesting to see. I will say this, and this is just sort of very anecdotal, but I wonder if the injury to Devin Bush makes the Steelers really hurt. I mean, remember what happened to the Steelers defense when Ryan Shazier got hurt. Like, they fell apart for a while, right? And so that's a defense that has his linebackers in key positions, and that's a big loss for them, not just the player on the field.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just curious what the Steelers defense looks like without Devin Bush.
It's a big, big, huge hole to fill. I think some of this might be, again, we the ranks are what the ranks are. I just think right. some of this might be, if you acquired Ryan Tannehill recently.
I'm with you.
Then you're probably not going to add him and then bench him. And if you've been riding Ryan Tannehill, he's probably earned your trust that you're going to play him this week against the Steelers, even in what looks like, on paper, a bad matchup. That being said, the game is being played in Tennessee. And as you also noted, no Devin Bush. So an adjustment period for this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, no doubt.
I mean, again, even in what we think is, quote, a bad matchup, I have him as a top 12 play.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, as you know.
Interesting.
Just outside if you play in a 10-team league, but if you're in a 12-team league, I'm as a starter this week.
Ben, as you said, cracks our top 15. I've got him at 14, so I'm a little bit less optimistic on Ben. You've got him at 11. It's an interesting one, though. You know, he's been fine this year. He's quarterback 19 on a per-game basis, which it's crazy because part of me is like, man, quarterback 19, he's getting you 18.4 points per game. So it's like, again, we always talk about quarterback having depth. This year has been absurd. And some guys out of nowhere, right? Like Justin Herbert, who we'll talk about in just a minute. So I'm fine with Ben. I don't know. I mean, I'd be surprised if he started in more than like 70% of leagues, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. But he's been fine. They expect Deontay Johnson back this week, so maybe that helps. I think he got a little, I don't want to say he got unlucky last week, but just whatever, you know, they had the reverse to Chase Claypool. Like, if he turns around, it's a touchdown pass, but he hands it behind him, so it's a sweep and a rushing touchdown for Claypool, and then they had the pick six. And, like, he just, I don't know, like, he should have had more fantasy points than he did in a 38-point win for, you know, the Steelers put up 38 points.
I think bottom line with Ben, though, is as we discussed that big group of must-start quarterbacks yesterday.
He's not in that.
He's not in that, and there aren't enough bad matchups this week that you're talking yourself out of a normal presumptive starter and sitting that player for Big Ben. If you're trying to replace Lamar Jackson this week, I get it. He's an option. But I don't know how many quarterbacks, how many leagues Ben Roethlisberger was very available. So other than that, probably not going to be started in as many leagues as some other really, really awesome options this week.
On the positive side, last 4 weeks, Titans 28th against the pass. And we just saw Deshaun Watson, who has been inconsistent this year, light him up last week.
Yeah. Good game script for Deshaun in that one.
Yeah.
But they kind of neutralized Josh Allen the week before that, right?
Like
some of that production came late in junk time. Like, remember the TJ Yeldon 22-yard touchdown pass? So
Josh Allen was awful in that game. But that was also, that's like a Tuesday night game, and it's a weird schedule and the whole thing. So anyway, to your point, listen, he's been held under 240 passing yards in 4 out of 5 games this season. The volume hasn't been there the way we sort of expected. But I think, actually, I do think Tennessee puts up points here. So I do think, listen, the over-under is over 50 in this one.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, you know, like, I don't think people would think, you know, without looking at it, you'd think it's more of a defensive battle than I think what's expected.
I really wanted to move Justin Herbert into my top 5 for this week. Just because it's just a gut call, right?
Sure.
It's a gut call. I've got him at quarterback 10, so I didn't go that high in my rankings. Right. You had him at quarterback 9.
Yeah.
Returns,
I love
obviously,
him.
After the bye week. Yeah, of course you do. With good reason.
Yeah, more than you.
You are in love with Justin Herbert, who I believe Kyle noted yesterday has at least 310 passing yards or 3 passing touchdowns in every single start so far. He's been a top 10 quarterback twice. He's started 4 games, one of which he figured out he would be the starter like 11 minutes before kickoff, Matthew. Yeah. The matchup is phenomenal. The matchup is phenomenal. Jacksonville has allowed 3 quarterbacks to post a top 8 finish this season. We've been advocating for adding Justin Herbert over the past couple of weeks. And if you did so during his bye week, it would have been because you're a forward thinker for a Lamar Jackson bye week. And this is the perfect sort of fill-in quarterback. He is my favorite streamer of the week.
1,000%. He shouldn't be a streamer. Like, he should, by the way, if you're lucky enough to pick him up, keep him. And like I said, like, either trade him or trade, even if you have a Mahomes, a Deshaun Watson, a Russell Wilson, pick up Herbert, because now you have, like, I think Herbert's going to be completely legitimate the rest of the season. So then you could, in theory, trade a Mahomes or Wilson, get a bigger player in return. It's all about improving your team here. I like the fact that he's coming off the bye, so he's had 2 weeks to prepare. Hopefully Keenan Allen is back for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Williams is healthy, like, might finally have all of his weapons here. As long as the team doctor doesn't puncture his lung before the game, we should be fine for Justin Herbert to go out there and ball out once again. To your point, again,
Available since in 40% of leagues.
Since week two, he's been the seventh best quarterback in fantasy.
He has been really, really fun to taking over for Los Angeles.
On a per game basis.
By the way, remember that first start against the Chiefs, he had the rushing touchdown? They haven't really utilized him as a designed rusher that frequently, and maybe they never will because they got to protect him, and it's an offensive line that's had three notable injuries already. But if they ever decided to get a little crazy with him as a runner, some additional value there. And you're coming off the bye. Maybe you've got the opportunity to install a few extra packages this past week. You know, whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you want just the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a system to help protect your home. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are connected to 24/7 monitoring controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in security. ADT expert installers average 10 plus years of experience. We want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why we provide one of the best money back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget.
How do you banish high rates on car insurance?
I don't know.
Switch to Geico. During Geico-ween.
Oh, pretty good right there.
October is their favorite time of year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings.
You're on a roll.
Just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geico-ween, everyone.
Let's get into running back rankings and one of the more interesting players. So behind, for those that care, and I'm sure that's like four people, the process in which we follow for our rankings is typically they are due into our system by early Tuesday morning, which usually what that means for me is I do mine Monday. I do an initial soft set of rankings Monday afternoon.
Right.
And then I allow for Monday Night Football to persuade me to potentially alter my rankings a little bit. And Monday Night Football persuaded me just a little bit.
I would
with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I initially had outside of my top 20 running backs, and then he decided to do what he did on Monday night. And as a result of that, it changed the outlook for how he might be ranked for week 7. Clyde Edwards-Helaire checks in at 11th for you amongst running backs. I've got him at 17. Daniel's got him at 14. And this, of course, ties to Le'Veon Bell, who I've got at 30. You've got him at 28. Daniel has him at 32. So there might be a case that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to be even higher, Matthew, if he gets the same volume that he's received. So if basically what happens is Le'Veon Bell just takes on the role that Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson had, then, yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire deserves to be ranked top 10-ish every week going forward. But
and that's my expectation for this
week.
Week one, Le'Veon Bell's just showed up. Yeah. Hey guys, nice to meet you. I'm Le'Veon.
Right.
Like that's where he is. Hey, if I need to go to the restroom, where am I going? Is it this way or this way? Which way is it going? Like, all right, hey, where do we get lunch? Mm. Like he's just trying to figure out his way around campus, like, you know, and around the facility. So my expectation is I'm sure he'll be active, I'm sure he'll be used, but I don't see him being a big part of the game plan, especially to your point, Field, after what CEH did on Monday night, you know, over 160 rushing yards. He had four catches as well, over 20 fantasy points as well. Have to believe at some point he gets into the end zone. You know, once again, like, I mean, it's unbelievable how many different ways he could not get into the end zone. But I don't know, like, I feel like you want to run against Denver. I feel like game script's going to be positive for them. I think they get up big here. I don't think Denver's able to control Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think they're going to be able to move the ball that effectively against the Chiefs. The defense played better last week, I thought, the Chiefs' defense. So yeah, I think you see a lot of run here for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and not a lot of Le'Veon Bell. So that's why I have him as a top 12 play this week.
Well, the big thing we saw last week, and we saw it in week one too, is that, if I'm not mistaken, those are the only two times since Patrick Mahomes became the starter that Andy Reid's Chiefs offense ran the football more than they threw the football.
Right.
So the fact that it's happened twice in 6 weeks this season with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at least, you know, a positive sign that volume could work in his favor. Now, it may come at the cost of somebody like not Tyreek Hill or not Travis Kelce. Like, it may mean that you're not going to have a big week from DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman or Sammy Watkins when he's healthy, but that's
Byron
okay.
Byron Pringle
or Marcus Kemp, but that's okay for our purposes in fantasy. Maybe this is, even if it is the best offense in football, it may be streamlined to four guys as opposed to potentially fanning out to six or seven guys.
And here's the other thing. You talk about the two times in 6 weeks. This is something we talked about on Monday's show, but not everyone listens to every show or listens, you know, to all of our show. Again, we ask that you only download. We just care about the clicks. We don't care if you listen. So just please click on it. You don't have to listen to the show. But what I said there is I noted, you know, what Patrick Mahomes was talking to the press about afterwards, which is that the idea is that defenses are starting to say, like, we don't care if we give up a 5 yard run. We just don't want to give up a 50 yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill.
Right.
We're gonna play eight back, we're gonna play deep, we're gonna play everything in front of us. And so when that happens, they're gonna take what the defense gives you, which means dump offs to CEH. That means running the ball, that means, you know, Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. And it's why, one of the reasons why Tyreek Hill did not have a big game on Monday night. And it's one of the reasons why Edwards-Helaire got as many running attempts as he did. And I think you could see Denver try to do that as well in this particular game. I think that is a way to try to limit the upside or the big playability of the Chiefs offense.
Yeah, but really interesting to see. I mean, it's one of those things that actually sounds good on paper.
Sure.
Now let's see if these defenses are disciplined enough to execute it consistently. Still like the Chiefs' chances every week, but
always.
It's at least something worth monitoring to see how explosive the passing game is as consistently as it has been in the past.
Oh, no. Well, it's the Mike Tyson quote. Everyone has a plan until you're hit in the mouth.
You know, our weekly Lemons into Lemonade is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And on Monday, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan said that Raheem Mostert could be headed to IR.
Right.
He's got an ankle injury. Now, Mostert was not placed on IR yet, and that's notable only because Kyle Shanahan also mentioned that Ben Garland, their center, was likely to head to IR, and he's already been placed on IR.
Hmm.
So you wonder if, again, I don't want to create the perception that Mostert's likely to play this weekend because it's sounds very unlikely, but maybe this won't be a three-game absence for Mostert. Maybe it's a one- or two-game absence, which would be good in the grand scheme of things. But any event, for Sunday against the Patriots on the road, we expect Jerick McKinnon to be the man. And he ranks inside the top 20 for both you and I, 16 for you, 17 for me. And Matthew, and we've seen this now, right? Unfortunately, we've read this book already so far this year. If Raheem Mostert is out, with Tevin Coleman also unlikely to return from IR this week, they don't have a choice. It's Jerick McKinnon. And
maybe.
It's most likely Jerick McKinnon, I would think.
They have Jerick McKinnon. They have JaMychal Hasty.
Sure, but okay.
And maybe, I mean, you know, Jeff Wilson Jr.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, who on Monday, Shanahan said he was hoping to have it practice later today. So I guess we'll find out what happens there with Jeff Wilson Jr. I think this is a dangerous video that you and I are doing. What happens here for people that are listening to the podcast, Field and I do the show in front of cameras. And we do an hour-long show, and then a very dedicated team then takes that video content that we've just produced for over an hour. You can watch us do it live on, you know, Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and the ESPN app, et cetera, et cetera. But they take that and then they clip it into videos. And if you play on ESPN and you've opened up the ESPN Fantasy app, chances are you've seen some of the videos with myself and Field and Stefania and Mike. Okay. This is a dangerous video, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because we're going to try to predict the 49ers running back situation, which is dangerous to begin with. And now we're going to try to do it on a Wednesday morning with, like, we don't even know who's going to be playing. Like, even if we knew, like, hey, if Kyle Shanahan called in right now and said, guys, the three active running backs I'm going to have on Sunday are Jeff Wilson Jr., JaMychal Hasty, Jerick McKinnon. That's it. Those are the only three guys I'm going to the game with. I'd still be like, I think you want to play McKinnon.
Right.
But it's, I mean, dude, this video is dangerous territory for us to look really dumb.
Okay.
Dumber than normal.
Totally fine. So, yeah, I was going to say, than normal. I will paint the picture that if it's Jerick McKinnon,
fair.
The reasons why you would be optimistic are that his last 10 games with 10 plus touches, and by the way, his last 10 games with 10 plus touches spans like multiple years,
three years or something like that.
He's averaged 14 points per game, and he's a very good pass catcher. And that is the bread and butter of his game. It's one of the bread and butters of Kyle Shanahan's offense. And teams against the Patriots this year have completed 22 of 24 passes to running backs. The Patriots do not have a fast linebacker group.
Nope.
It's going to be hard for them to keep up with a player like Jerick McKinnon in the passing game with the normal linebackers that they typically utilize. So,
having said that, do you think there's a chance, knowing that,
mm-hmm.
knowing that, remember the Raiders game where New England played the Raiders game, and you know Belichick always likes to take away the key part of a team's offense.
Right.
What Belichick did in that game was he double teamed like the dump offs.
Darren Waller.
Exactly. They took out Darren Waller. And they could do the same thing with George Kittle, right?
Yeah, I mean, try
at least, right? And so, yeah, I mean, Kittle's just a different animal. You're starting George Kittle, don't get cute. But my point is like, could Belichick say, like, listen, Garoppolo's been brutal passing past the line of scrimmage. If you look at his numbers, and by the way, Bill knows what Jimmy G does well and what he doesn't.
Of course, yeah.
And so, I don't know, like he could say, like, I'm not scared about Garoppolo stretching the field here. I'm going to take away all the line of scrimmage stuff, the dump offs, the close in stuff that he was doing, because that's where he had success last Sunday against the Rams.
I was going to say, but you say that Belichick is not scared of Garoppolo down the field. You know who is scared of Garoppolo down the field?
Who's that?
Kyle Shanahan, right? So Kyle Shanahan, as we saw last week, I mean, I know that Jimmy G, I think he finished with 268 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns.
Right.
I'm not going to go through this myself, but I would challenge somebody, maybe tweet at Field Yates if you find the answer. How many of those 268 passing yards and how many of those 3 passing touchdowns came on throws that were completed behind the line of scrimmage? And those count.
Sure.
Those count, no doubt.
No, I mean, I can tell you this because Deebo Samuel, 6 for 66, every single one, he went 6 for 66, and every one of his 6 receptions was behind the line of scrimmage.
And he had a touchdown, right?
Yes, he did.
So we're already down to 202 yards and 2 touchdowns of passes thrown downfield. Yes. So again, and you know what? It doesn't matter. For fantasy, it doesn't matter. Who cares? Patrick Mahomes constantly throws little numbers.
I'm just saying,
I don't want people to misconstrue that as like, oh, there goes Field Matthew, cutting down Jimmy Garoppolo. No. First of all, you think Jimmy Garoppolo cares? You've seen that dude's jawline. He didn't care about our little stupid fantasy analysis.
No, he's worth over $100 million. He's young, good-looking, and the starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo is just fine.
Yeah. All right. Kyle, maybe don't really have a perfect answer yet.
I have an answer. It's not as good as you're hoping. He was 9 for 10 on passes thrown behind the line of scrimmage for 101 yards and a touchdown. It's still, percentage-wise, way above the norm.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I still wonder, though, like, what if it was, like, within 5 yards of line of scrimmage? It might still paint a different picture. Again, we don't want to undercut it too much. This is going to be the offense the 49ers are running.
The focus will be on the running backs. As of right now, I have McKinnon as a top 20 play. What I will say is, though, that's the softest ranking I have this week so far.
My new word is
reluctant. 49ers running back rankings. Yep. Like, Jeff Wilson Jr. could be a thing this week. He could be nothing at all.
I'm going with
same with JaMychal Hasty. Same with JaMychal Hasty. Could be something. Could be not.
All right. Here's my chicken play of the week. Remember, you did chicken players.
Chicken's a nervous bird, according to Jim Harbaugh.
My chicken play of the week is DeAndre Swift of the Lions.
Interesting.
And of course, Daniel's not here to talk about this and help me feel better about it. But he was awesome last week. He was amazing. Mm-hmm. 116 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 27.3 fantasy points. One of the best running backs in fantasy. But still, Adrian Peterson played one more snap than him, and he had 15 rushes for 40 yards and a touchdown, right? So here are some reasons to buy into this being real, though. First of all, I saw a couple of the quotes from the coordinators of the Lions who spoke yesterday to the media. Daryl Bevel on offense and Corey Unlin on the defense. And this is sort of anecdotal, but bear with me here. Both of them seem to talk about some like sort of alterations, some self-scouting, some changes that were made during the bye week, because they came off their bye week this past week. And I get it. Maybe the big reason why DeAndre Swift went crazy is because they played the Jaguars, who are one of the worst defenses in football. But still, if we're going to cling to hope that this can continue against another bad defense in Atlanta, maybe they are a team that spent the bye week talking to themselves and saying, what do we need to do better? Because we're 1-3, and this season is already on edge. For the past three games, Adrian Peterson's percentage of carries, 81.5%, 50%, 38.5%. So trending in the right direction for DeAndre Swift's value. I've got him at running back 25, Matthew. I don't have the courage to put him inside my top 20 yet. I'd love to, though.
Good. I do. I'm at running back 19. Coming over here to Guts Island. Feel free to stop by. Buy a postcard. The fact is...
What do they cost?
Huh?
What do they cost? It
costs 50 cents.
Oh.
It costs 50 cents.
Venmo available or no?
Huh?
Venmo's available?
Obviously.
Okay, good.
So we're a modern island over here at Guts Island. Yeah, buy a t-shirt. Grab a tropical drink in a
truly hard
souvenir
seltzer.
Cup. In a souvenir cup. What I will tell you is that, first off, let's just talk about talent.
Yeah, this could be Chase Claypool of running backs, right?
Yeah. He's really talented. He's really talented. He's somebody that, coming out of Georgia, a lot of people thought could be the most talented running back of this rookie class. And that had he gone to a different situation, I think people would have been, you know, more excited about him fantasy-wise.
He could be Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Right. I think there's a chance, exactly right. If he had gone to Kansas City instead of CEH, he'd have been a top 10 fantasy pick.
Yeah, right.
And so you think about Kerryon Johnson. I'm asking you to, because no one else is. Like, I mean, he's an afterthought in Detroit. It was a three-headed monster. It's now a two-headed monster. I ranked Adrian Peterson a little bit high because I think Adrian Peterson gets into the end zone in this one. I think he still has a good chance here.
Good.
But again, Falcons allow 54.7 receiving yards per game to opposing running backs. That's third most in the NFL. He is their receiving down back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in a game that we expect to be a little bit of a track meet, right? I mean, you know, this is a game with a over-under of 56.5.
Love it.
The Falcons are somehow favored in this game. The game is in Atlanta. So, I don't know. Like, I just think it's a high-scoring game. I think he's their pass-catching running back. I think he's their best running back. I think he certainly earned more time this week based on what he did last week. You just mentioned the percentage of touches in terms of share that's going down for Adrian Peterson. He's still going to be involved. Adrian Peterson's still getting double-digit touches, still has the best shot of falling into the end zone here. But, yeah. Give me DeAndre Swift as a top 20 play in a high scoring game on a good offense as splitting the first and second down work and getting all the third down work for the Lions.
Let's do pass catcher rankings for a little bit, because I mentioned Chase Claypool. Like, I thought my idea is that the Lions might be talking themselves more into DeAndre Swift in the same way that the Steelers, even with Deontay Johnson's injury, probably have to talk themselves into more opportunities for Chase Claypool. And he got four targets last week. It's not a huge workload, plus the rushing attempt. So obviously that was good. But we're at the point now, and he plays Tennessee this weekend. If you have Chase Claypool, Matthew, it's going to be incredibly tempting to use him every week until he works his way out of your lineup, that happens. So
you're starting him. Don't get cute. You're starting Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I mean, one of those where he's shown he has upside, right? Like, he's shown that he's such an explosive athlete that if you are chasing the upside each week, then he's going to bring you the upside. And over the past couple of weeks, like, if you took away all of his touchdowns, he'd still give you a reasonable floor, right? Like, you're still, even without the touchdowns over the past 2 weeks, it's still double-digit fantasy points.
Fourth most fantasy points allowed to opposing wide receivers. That is the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I actually think Deontay Johnson back actually benefits Chase Claypool. More weapons there. I'm not Chase Claypool over Juju Smith-Schuster this week and for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I have a hard time making a case against that one.
I mean,
yeah, no, I hear you.
Whenever there's fantasy success,
yeah,
you always ask yourself, well, why did this happen? Is it a fluke? Can it happen again? Why did it happen? Can that repeat? And in the case of Chase Claypool, insanely talented player, we all believe that, right? We don't think this is a fluke. We don't think he's just a guy.
Right.
We think he is a special kid. And it's a good offense. He's got a good quarterback. I get it that Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been what you hoped for fantasy-wise, but Ben Roethlisberger's a good quarterback, and it's a fantasy-friendly offense. And so, talented player with a good quarterback on a fantasy-friendly offense, yes, that can repeat itself.
Deebo Samuel, we just talked about in reference to Jimmy Garoppolo, but for this week, I've got him at 23 in my wide receiver ranking. He's a little bit higher than you at 29, and so...
Do you think Gilmore's on Kittle?
I don't know how the Patriots will approach Kittle yet, but I don't think there's really, like, to me, it doesn't matter who they're playing with Deebo Samuel, because so much of what I expect out of his production will start behind the line of scrimmage.
Right.
Right. So If we had
six manufactured touches for him.
Six catches for 66 yards and a touchdown last week, and we just heard that all of them came behind the line of scrimmage. It matters if you're playing Darrell Revis in his prime. Like, if you're catching the ball behind the line of scrimmage on, in some cases, what we call those touch passes, where Garoppolo's in shotgun, takes the snap, and he just sort of bunts it forward for Deebo Samuel, is essentially a handoff. Like, it's kind of the hidden secret of fantasy value this year. It really is in some ways. Like, at some point, someone's going to be really meticulous and say, I can find all the points added in fantasy this year, as in extra receptions plus extra passing yards for quarterbacks, just off of these basically jet sweep type plays that are, instead of sweeps, they're throws. And that's what Deebo Samuel's going to benefit from. So that's why I have him as a top 25 wide receiver play this week.
Love it. Love the case there. Love the look. I just think he's a super talented guy. Like, in general, in fantasy, bet on talent. I think he's a super talented guy, and I think outside of George Kittle, he's the most talented pass catcher in San Francisco. And I like Brandon Ayuk, too.
Sure.
But I think Deebo Samuel, again, sort of a special guy.
Yeah, they do a great job, as we have always known with Kyle Shanahan. He does a great job of getting his players in space along those lines. Deebo Samuel is one of their best players in space. Last one.
Kyle Notitz here, by the way. 72.4% of Samuel's points this season have come from the slot. Now, it's small sample size. He hasn't been out there very much, but they have been using him there. They move him all over the field, but they use him definitely some. They've used him the majority of time from the slot. Worth noting here, Patriots allowing the second most yards per slot reception so far this year. So maybe you see a big play or two out of Deebo Samuel, who, as we noted, they do manufacture touches for.
Last pass catcher before we get into a couple of flex considerations is CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
And I've got him inside my top 30. I've got him at 27, and he has at least 10.9 fantasy points all 6 weeks this season. I'd be surprised if he hasn't been close to a top 30 play in almost every week this season. He's been really great. And even on Monday night with bad Andy Dalton, he still got you seven catches for 64 yards. So is there a reason why we're not more optimistic here on CeeDee Lamb?
I think the concern for me
is
that over the last 4 weeks, Washington, 27th against the run, second against the pass.
Yeah.
And what that why that is...
Teams are just running the ball so much.
You don't need to throw against them.
Yeah.
You don't need to throw against them. So is this a big Zeke day? Yeah, I mean, I just have... Can Washington keep it competitive? I know Dallas's defense is so bad, but Washington's offense is so, you know, struggling, right? It's struggling right now, and, you know, they lack playmakers outside of McLaurin. And so is there a scenario here where it's just a huge Zeke game, they get up big, and they're not having to go into the crazy pass mode with CeeDee Lamb? And then if it's just a normal passing game for the Cowboys, then he's got a 1-on-4 shot, right? Like, I think he's super, super talented, but you've also got Amari Cooper there. You also have Michael Gallup. It was clear, even though it wasn't effective, it was clear Andy Dalton and or Kellen Moore were desperately trying to get Michael Gallup going on Monday night. I mean, they took multiple shots to him. I think he got six targets in all off the top of my head. And so that's the concern there on CeeDee Lamb. And then, of course, Dalton Schultz as well. And so... that's my only thing. Look, I'm at 34. You have at 27. So I'm a little bit less optimistic on him. But CeeDee Lamb has the kind of talent that if we're sitting here next Monday talking about how CeeDee Lamb's a top 10 fantasy wide receiver because he did 103 touchdowns, no one's shocked. Like, he's got that kind of talent and upside.
He looks like maybe the best rookie wide receiver, and Justin Jefferson has been awesome. Just by the way, I gave him a little bit too much credit. He's been a top 42 wide receiver in all 6 weeks, but a top 27 play in 4 of 6 weeks. And before we do a couple of live reads to pay the bills here, I did want to, this Kyle was able to generate this.
Okay.
If you look at all starting quarterbacks last week and how many of their passing yards came on throws under 5 air yards, Jimmy Garoppolo leads the way with 55.2% of his yards last week, coming on throws under 5 air yards. Only player over 50% this past week. For some comparison, Carson Wentz, 11.3%. That was near the bottom of the list. So certainly guys getting the job done in different ways. Wentz had a monster day this past week in fantasy. Let's have a flex conversation in a minute. But first, Matthew... Truly Hard Lemonade sounds yummy.
Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy matchup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in four refreshing flavors, right? Original strawberry, mango, and black cherry. I'm going to do that again because the good people at Truly have paid money for me to read this, and I want them to get their money's worth here.
Come
I'm going to tell you. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in four refreshing flavors. Original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly Hard Seltzer. Yeah. Truly Hard Seltzer. Apparently I had a couple of Trulies on the way in. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly.
By the way, you should, I hope. Did you?
But I'm not a hard seltzer guy. I will tell you, my wife loves them. Yeah, we have a fridge stocked with Trulies. Absolutely.
Hopefully one day we can make that two fridges stocked with Truly because of your kind words about Truly. And Shell knows that between every tee up, layup, and batter up, that you can't wait to catch up with your favorite podcast, us, hopefully. So come to Shell and get three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gas again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Oh, time to wrap it up. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell in engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. See full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com. All right, so the idea of this flex conversation, Matthew, is Let's say you've got, we talked on Monday about stars that are no longer playing like stars and have to earn their way most likely back into your lineup. So think of Odell Beckham Jr., Juju Smith-Schuster, Julian Edelman, Jarvis Landry, players like that, okay? I'm going to give you sort of them as a baseline and then some options of players that you would consider playing over them. And we begin with Travis Fulgham for the Philadelphia Eagles, who haven't yet checked how much he was added in waivers overnight. But if he's not over 50% rostership, I don't know what I'll do. But it needs to happen because he's been really good for them.
63% roster.
Okay, so we're getting there. He was at 44, so almost 19% added for Travis Fulgham, trending in the right direction. They play the Giants on Thursday night, Matthew. Again, Travis Fulgham or the field being Juju's and Odell's and Edelman and Landry and other players like that that have been struggling. It's got to be Fulgham, right?
Yeah. Fulgham's been great. It's a really good matchup with the Giants, although he'll see some James Bradbury, which obviously
Isn't that amazing? The Giants are preparing to play the Eagles, and James Bradbury, their $14 million cornerback who's been awesome, will potentially shadow Travis Fulgham, who's been on three teams in 60 days.
That's football field.
Yes, it's 2020 is what it is.
Football, it is 2020. But, yeah, I mean, Fulgham has scored in all three games that he's played so far this season. 25% target share, 25.7% to be exact. He's been targeted on a team high 27.8% of routes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kid can play.
Yeah, he can.
And again, as we talk about, like, you know, at the moment, we certainly aren't expecting Zach Ertz or Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
We don't know about Alshon Jeffrey or DeSean Jackson, although
both limited so far this week.
So the passing attack may literally be Travis Fulgham.
Yeah, it looks
and,
like.
And, you know, I mean, you'll see some Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, but, like, Fulgham's been terrific.
Yeah.
And, by the way, no Miles Sanders in this game either. So, I mean, they can't even say, like, you know what, let's just pound the rock. Like, it's going to be Boston Scott and Corey Clement. Give me some Travis Fulgham this week. He comes in at 27 for me. I think he's a upside flex play.
So you mentioned that there is no Miles Sanders, which brings us to Boston Scott, who takes over as the presumptive starting running back for Miles Sanders. We've seen this before a little bit. So in week one, he had 11 touches. Last year, he had 13 or more touches in weeks 14, 15, and 17. Remember, that was when the Eagles were so decimated. It was not without Miles Sanders. It was alongside him. In those three games, he averaged 24.7 fantasy points.
Yeah, I did.
And I understand that's a teeny tiny sample size, but we believe he'll probably be the starting running back again. And here's where I think Thursday night is different than week one, because he only had 11 touches. Remember in week one, they were up 17-0. And then who did they lose to in week one?
The Washington Professional Football Team, the WTFs.
Okay. So there seemed like there was not as much opportunity in that situation for some passing game work.
Right.
Right? I don't think it's going to be. I think it'll be a
they also,
more competitive.
They were also healthier. They were also healthier in week one. Goddard had a big game in week one. Right. Like, I mean, they had more pass catchers available than they do now. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause.
Okay.
Boston Scott comes in at 25 for me, and you have him at 18, so you're slightly higher on him than me. The concern here is that the Giants have been fourth against the run over the last 4 weeks. They've actually played defense pretty well. I think you see some Corey Clement. Like in week one's a little bit. I know there's reasons to say why he didn't get as much work, but he still didn't get as much work.
That's fair.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and so, I mean, you know, there was a way that they got up 17-0. And so, and he wasn't a huge part of that. You know, so that's the concern. That's the only concern I have. Is more of an RB3 or a flex play than as a full-blown starter on Thursday night.
Fair enough. It's a tough one. I guess I have an RB18, as you mentioned just a minute ago. So, Boston Scott or the field?
What do you mean?
Jarvis Landry, Juju, Odell, Edelman, etc.
Oh, I'm going with Boston Scott.
Me too. Another one here. T. Higgins for the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Last week had season high 6 catches on 8 targets for 125 yards. 6 or more targets in all 5 of his games played this season. 25 plus yard catch in 3 straight games. I mean, be really hard not to pull him over those guys we're talking about right now, right?
Yeah, I think you do. Here's the other thing. T. Higgins can play.
He can play. He's good. Yeah.
T. Higgins can absolutely play, and they throw it a ton.
Now, I don't.
T. Higgins over age. I mean, listen, I do think this is a huge Tyler Boyd week.
Okay.
Tyler Boyd's going to be on the love list when it comes out tomorrow because it's a great matchup for Boyd. But Higgins has had a lot of nice games when Tyler Boyd has gone off as well. Like, A.J. Green's the one that I'm not buying. Like, I need to see it again from A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Like, who's had one good week in 6. T. Higgins is legit.
Wait, by the way. It's probably not going to follow the same script, but this is the rematch of the Bengals and the Browns. First time they played, Joe Burrow threw it 61 times.
61.
So, hey, if you guys want to follow that same script, Zach Taylor, have at it. We'll take 61 attempts from Joe Burrow. Last one here. So, again, I think we agree. That's a pretty straightforward one for us. T. Higgins versus the field. You could probably throw A.J. Green in that field category, by the way.
Yes.
Last one, I think, that sort of interesting flex consideration is Justin Jackson. Okay. Who last time we saw him did take over as a starting running back for the Chargers in place of Austin Eckler. That was Monday Night Football against the Saints. Played well. 71 rushing yards. He had 6 targets, 5 catches, 23 yards. And the Jaguars, again, they're a brutal team right now. Remember, we thought last week was going to be the big Matthew Stafford week.
Yeah.
Instead, it was the big every Lions running back week, including DeAndre Swift. So, Justin Jackson, is this a slam dunk over the field here?
I think so. I mean, I am at 14. I'm as a top 15 running back this week.
Yeah.
Feels like he definitely separated himself from Joshua Kelly before the bye. I expect this offense to be very productive against the Jaguars on Sunday. And so Justin Jackson in a good matchup with a, you know, fairly stable workload, a top 15 play for me this week.
I would say I'm a little bit less estimate, but I probably need to change that a little bit. Yeah, I like it. I've got him at 20. I probably have to maybe a slight alteration, but good opportunity here. Again, Austin Eckler is going to have to miss at least 3 games, so you've got at least 2 more weeks of serviceable time. Could be a little bit longer there on Justin Jackson.
Over the last 4 weeks, there have only been 2 teams that are worse in terms of rushing yards allowed per game than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I don't know who they are, but is that a trivia or is that?
No. I'm telling you.
Fact.
I can tell you, you know, it's the Texans and the Cowboys.
Well, over Cowboys. The last 4 weeks. I should have the Cowboys.
Yeah, come on.
All right, let's get a couple social questions, and Kyle will take over for Daniel today.
Yeah, I got you covered. Jeffrey wants to know if now's the right time to move on from Ronald Jones.
I would think no. I mean, I understand the idea because soon
he's
enough
been good
we'll
the
have
last
Leonard
couple
Fournette, and maybe, you know, this is a fickle coach at running back. I don't mean that as a negative. I'm just talking objectively here.
No.
I think no.
Can I tell you why? I'll take this one. So here's why. Ronald Jones, I think on the season, is like the 12th best running back in fantasy. Kyle, you can look that up and get me credit, get me right on that. But he's absolutely a top 15 fantasy running back. I'm pretty sure he's 12th so far on the season. No one thinks of him as a top 12 running back. So even if you're shopping him, what you're going to get back, I think, you know, listen, if someone's going to offer you top 12 value, then absolutely do it. But I think that you have more upside in Ronald Jones continuing to do what he does than what you'll get on the trade market, because I think perception of him is still He's going to lose the job with Fournette. It's going to be a committee thing. They don't think he's as good as he has been. What do you got, Kyle?
13th. So you're right there. Yep.
Running back 13 on the seat. I'm just saying, like, no one thinks of Ronald Jones as a top 13 fantasy running back, and that's what he is.
Would you trade him for if I said, hey, I'll give you Ronald Jones, you give me Todd Gurley. You doing it? You would get Jones. I would get Gurley.
I think I'd rather Jones than Gurley this season.
I'm just sort of thinking about, like, David Johnson or Ronald Jones.
David Johnson.
So I think if you're going to trade him, there's actually like a pretty clear range of players you're targeting.
Right. But it's right in there.
I consider it. So yeah.
Right. How about Ronald Jones or James Robinson?
Probably James Robinson.
Yeah, me too.
But you know what?
Again, but like, I mean, that's the range we're talking about here.
Well, one thing I'll tell you is that when, and I love everybody reaches out. I love it. It's a big part of what we do. We love it, right? I don't begrudge people that ask me for my thoughts on a fantasy trade or a start sit decision. But what I always chuckle at is when people ask me for something like that, right? Would you prefer David Johnson or James Robinson the rest of the year? I'm like, are you doing that trade because you think you're upgrading or downgrading? Or are you doing it because you want to trade? Which is fine. If you want to trade for the sake of trading, that's part of what's fun, right? We don't see many trades in real football. That's why we get lots of trades in fantasy football. But sometimes you're trading just for the sake of trading.
Go.
Reese wants to know if Zach Ertz has to remain on rosters while he's banged up.
We're talking about 3 to 4 weeks missed. Talk about a player that's totally struggled. I don't know, man. Hold on. Let me rephrase this because it's going to come with,
a caveat.
I was going to say, like, you know, you got to be careful with the headline, right? So you don't want I'm not telling you to drop Zach Ertz, and I'm not telling you that Zach Ertz is not an incredible player. I am 100% convinced that Zach Ertz is one of the best tight ends in football, and it's not even a conversation in my mind. I think what we have seen of late is something that we saw last year, and that when, and we've talked about this multiple times on the podcast, I want to make sure we empty the bucket here, okay? Zach Ertz is the best thing the Eagles have had over the past few weeks in the passing game. Travis Fulgham has been amazing, yep. But I mean the guy that when you are facing the Eagles, you are saying, I am going to slow down Zach Ertz. If somebody else beats us, so be it. We used to know the 1.86, right? That to me is the biggest problem for Zach Ertz recently, okay? It's not a Zach Ertz thing. It's the way that teams have been able to defend him because of the fact that he is the sort of last man standing there. The reason why you'd hold on to Zach Ertz, and I understand that it's hard to hold a guy for 4 weeks
right.
and struggling, but if you're holding on to him, it's that soon enough, fingers crossed here, Alshon and Deshaun return and Dallas Goedert returns and Miles Sanders returns.
And eventually Jalen Reagor.
Right. Jalen Reagor returns. And then all of a sudden the Eagles offense looks pretty good and you're like, wait, we can't double Zach Ertz. And he goes off for 8 and 80 with a touchdown going forward.
And hopefully, by the way, especially this year, you have an IR slot in your league.
Right.
And so he's not taking up certainly if you have an IR slot, you're not getting rid of Zach Ertz. What's next?
I think one more social than the Geico trivia.
Last social question here. What is Christian McCaffrey's current trade value?
I look for a lock it in RB1 or else I'm not entertaining it.
Yeah. I mean, he's not coming back this week, but he does have a shot to play in week 8. I believe they're the Thursday night game
against,
in week 8.
New Orleans. Yep.
Against New Orleans. So divisional game. Panthers right in the thick of it. So I think the expectation is they're not going to play him this week in order to have him not on the short. They don't want to play him this Sunday and then not have him for the short turnaround. Important divisional game with the Saints. So that's the expectation. So I agree with you. If I'm not getting somebody who's like a
you give
top,
me Derrick Henry or Alvin Kamara.
Right. But you've survived this long without Christian McCaffrey sitting on your bench. Now you see daylight. There's a week away before he comes back. You're not trading him now for anything less than somebody that would go in the first round of a draft if we held it today.
All righty, Kyle. Trivia time. We got less than 2 minutes. Let's make it rip.
All right, we'll get it quick. Who is the only team with a top 5 receiver in each of the past 4 weeks?
Okay, the only team with a top 5 receiver in each of the past 4 weeks.
So it's got to be somebody that's
fairly straightforward.
That's been playing all 4 weeks.
That is a caveat.
Ooh,
that's
a good
you
point
have to
there.
Play to be a top receiver.
Okay.
I was going to say DK Metcalf, and
yeah, that's a good
you
point.
Sniffed so out one of the
you Seahawks have been eliminated.
A top 5 receiver
each of the past 4 weeks.
Each of the past 4 weeks.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready. I can start to flash mine there.
This one's tough.
I'm flashing my answer right here for those that are watching. And when Matthew's ready.
I think Matthew will get there. He sniffed out the designed landmine here. So by passing on that, he's in okay shape.
You never know, though.
Here we go. What do you got? Okay. Here we go. In a matter of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who do you got?
Philadelphia.
I've got the Vikings.
Oh, Vikings. That's a great call.
Field Yates with the correct answer.
Let's
Adam
go.
Thielen twice and Justin Jefferson.
How about that?
That's smart call.
I like the idea, though, there on Philly, like targeting the team that you feel like has nothing.
Sneaky.
It's very good right there.
They're sneaky. I hate trivia. I just want you to know.
I love it so much.
I voted against it. I don't want it on the show. I'm trying to get rid of it. Just, you know, behind the scenes, that's what I'm doing, is I'm killing it every day.
The assault on trivia continues from Matthew Berry. You know what else continues?
Yeah.
Podcast on Thursday. We've got the Thursday night game of the year, Eagles and Giants. You can feel the buzz already. Mike Clay will be here to preview that game, talk about some news updates, and also wide receiver cornerback matchups, as he always does. For you, Matthew Berry.
At Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram.
Right.
At Kyle Soppy ESPN on the Twitter.
No Instagram.
I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, like literally the TikTok, the Snapchat, the Facebook, the Instagram, and Twitter, except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. For all of us here at the Fantasy Focus 06010, we'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.